There's that old school bell, and you know what that means. That's right. It's time for another session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And this is class session 124. And what we're about to study in today's lesson is about the ministry of John the Baptist. And we're going to be beginning talking about John's manner of life. And our study is coming from Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. I would invite you at this time, as you get ready for this Bible school class, to go ahead and get your Bibles, open it up to Luke chapter 3, 7 through 17. And while I'm talking, you can look over that text. I know you can do that. You can kind of look at the text and read along. Even while I'm talking, your mind can work a lot faster than I can talk. And so you can take in everything I'm saying and also look at the text itself, and you'll see what we can learn from this study about John the Baptist and his manner of life. Now, as you're doing that, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And I want to invite you to our services. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., and then a Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and a Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. When you come, you examine this worship and then read your New Testament. And what we're trying to do is worship in accordance with the teachings of the New Testament. And we've been trying to do that for 100 years. You know, the modern thing today is to have a community church. Those seem to be the great big popular churches. There will be some kind of community church. I think it's Tim Hawkins that he had a definition of a community church that humored me, and he is a humorist, and so you need to take this in the vein of humor. But he said a community church is really just a Baptist church with a cool website. Well, that's not all there is to it. But I know this, a community church, very often the reason they seem to be so popular is because, well, that's what they intend to be. They're trying to reach out to their community, and they ask the question, what would our community like? And then they're trying to please their customers. That's just a good way to market things if you're into marketing. Well, that's not what you're going to find in the churches of Christ. At the Church of Christ, our emphasis is not so much worship in such a way as to please our community, as it is to worship in such a way as it is to please our God. And so you find the worship in the churches of Christ to be simple, sincere, and scriptural. That is our goal. And if God is pleased, then we are going to be pleased with that. Did you know there were churches that were like that, and they study the Bible and have respect for what the Bible has to say more than the popular fads and fashions of men? Well, they are. And a lot of them, they're called churches of Christ. And that's what we do at Rock Cliff, our meeting house, where we have been meeting for a little over 100 years at this location, not in this building, but in this location. For over 100 years, we've been meeting at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. And so come to the services when you can. And now let's look and see what Elam said on the Sunday of October 15th, 1922, about John's manner of life. Now, this John we're talking about is, of course, John the Baptist. One verse tells us all we need to know of John's history from childhood into his public ministry. It says in Luke chapter 1 in verse 80, "The child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel." Like Jesus, John grew in body and developed in mind and in spirit. Like Jesus, he was brought up in a quiet place in the deserts, where he was disciplined by self-denial and prepared by frequent and undisturbed communion with God. For his great work, his habits, clothing, and diet were simple. His raiment was of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle, Matthew 3 and verse 4. That would be a loose garment made of a coarse fabric woven out of the long, rough hair of the camel and fastened about the waist with a leathern girdle. This girdle was worn by any common laborer. The hairy garment was recognized as the dress of the prophets. We read about that in 1 Kings 1 and verse 8 and in Zechariah 3 and verse 4. His food was locust and wild honey. Now, some have suggested this locust may have been the locust pods of the locust tree, but most believe these locusts were insects. God, the Jews, were allowed to eat locusts. We read about that in Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 22. And these locusts would be a very large insect, resembling a grasshopper. The poor of Arabia, Egypt, and Nubia used them still for food. Honey was deposited in rocks, and there were swarms of bees. We read about this honey in in Psalm chapter 81 in verse 16. There it says he would feed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock would I satisfy them. And so honey was a common food among those, particularly those that were living in the wilderness. He drank neither wine nor strong drink of any kind, and was filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. You can compare this with the law for the Nazarites that you read about in Numbers chapter 6. John the Baptist's mission was declared by Gabriel as follows: "And many of the children of Israel shall return unto the Lord their God, and he shall go before his face in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk in the way of wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him." Luke chapter 1, 16 and 17. God sent them to baptize. John chapter 1 and verse 33. He taught and baptized by the authority of God. And those who refused to be baptized rejected the counsel of God against themselves. Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30. Note that the Old Testament closes with a prophecy concerning John's work, and the New Testament virtually opens with its fulfillment. Concerning John the Baptist, we read about when John the Baptist began to preach. Tiberius Caesar, the stepson and successor of Augustus, was the second emperor of Rome. He was associate emperor with Augustus before Augustus' death. He began to reign in A.D. 14 and reigned until his death in A.D. 37. After the banishment of Archelaus in A.D. 6, Judea was made a province under Roman governors with headquarters at Caesarea on the sea. Pilate was the fifth of these governors. He was appointed in A.D. 25 or 26 and was removed in A.D. 36. Wearied with misfortunes, he committed suicide. Guilty of other sins and a depraved coward, he played a prominent part in the basest crime the world had ever known, the crucifixion of Jesus. A tetrarch properly means a ruler of the fourth part of a country, but in a general sense, it is any subordinate prince or ruler. Lysanias was the Roman ruler, or tetrarch of Abilene. Trachonitis was east, Ituria, northeast, and Abilene, north of Galilee. Annas and Caiaphas were called high priest. There was really but one high priest at one time. Annas was the father-in-law to Caiaphas and had been deposed by the Romans, and Caiaphas appointed in his stead. During the rule of all these, the word of God came unto John the Baptist while he was yet in the wilderness. It came by inspiration of the Spirit which was in him, and he was called to begin his work. The wilderness was not a barren waste. but a thinly inhabited country used for pasture. It lay west of the Jordan and the Dead Sea, and in the southeastern part of Judea. John was now about 30 years old. And we know what John preached. Ministry means service, or what John the Baptist did in obedience to God for his people. A lesson on the ministry of John the Baptist, without teaching what John preached and taught the people, would be very greatly incomplete. John left his home and went into all the country round about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. The baptism of repentance is baptism springing from repentance. The people repented and were baptized. Repentance is turning from sin to obedience to God. It is more than sorrow for sin. Sorrow is not repentance, but godly sorrow worketh repentance, 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. It is a change of purpose, a change of will, a change of heart, a determination to forsake sin, and a real turning from sin to obedience to God. Repentance led to baptism, because baptism was the obedience which God required as an expression of repentance. Had he required some other act of obedience, truly penitent people would have rendered that. When they obeyed God, he forgave their sins. Hence it was the baptism of repentance unto remission of sins. There are two other passages like this. Christ shed his blood for many unto the remission of sins, Matthew 26:28. And then there's Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, here it is, unto the remission of your sins. Christ shed his blood that sins might be remitted. Apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission, Hebrews 9:22. He did not shed his blood because people's sins were already forgiven. Then the people repent and are baptized unto the remission of sins, or that their sins may be blotted out and forgiven. John did not preach repentance unto remission of sins and baptism unto something else. The baptism of repentance was for, that is, unto the remission of sins. It is so important to understand this and understand the meaning of baptism. The Bible never does call baptism an outward sign of an inward grace. If you've heard that, then you've heard preachers say that. But you ask them where the Bible says that, and they will not be able to find it. The Bible says baptism is unto the remission of sins. If I've been baptized to join a denomination, or baptized to for some other reason, or baptized because I've been saved, I would go back and be baptized the way they were in the Bible, and be baptized in order to, unto, into, and for the remission of sins. And you know, since that's what the Bible says, it can't be wrong to do that. Well, the people clearly understood him, because they were baptized of John in the river Jordan, confessing their sins, Matthew 3 and verse 6. Truly penitent people are not ashamed to confess their sins, to acknowledge them as their own, and to blame no one else with them. Baptism itself is a burial in water of one dead to sin. It is a confession of sin and an expression of repentance. John exhorted the people to repent, because the kingdom of heaven was at hand, Matthew 3 and verse 2, and that they might escape the wrath to come, Luke chapter 3 and verse 7. John baptized in the river Jordan and in Enon near the Salmi, because there was much water there. And the people came and were baptized and went unto him and were baptized. And it says, when they were baptized, that they went up out of the water. Up out of the water when baptized. Look at that in Mark chapter 1, verse 5 and 10, and John 3 and verse 23. You see, baptism is a burial. Romans 6:3 and 4, and Colossians 2 and verse 12. That's as far as we're going to get today. When you hear that school bell, you make sure you come back and be ready for the Bible school.